Hey, good morning, everyone. We're glad you're here at Calvary Baptist Church today to worship with us, and we're thankful that we can be here serving the Lord. We're going to sing some songs today. We're going to start with Arise, My Soul, Arise, a wonderful old song by Charles Wesley, and talking about how that his soul ought to be happy and joyful serving the Lord. All right?
Arise, my soul, arise, shake off thy guilty fears, a bleeding sacrifice in my behalf appears. Before the throne, my surety stands, before the throne, my surety stands, my name is written on his hands. He ever lives above for thee to intercede, his all-redeeming love, his precious blood to plead, his blood atoned for all our race, his blood atoned for all our race, and sprinkles now the throne of grace. By bleeding wounds he bears, received on Calvary, they pour effectual prayers, they strongly plead for me. Forgive him now, forgive, they cry. Forgive him now, forgive, they cry. For let that ransom sinner die. The Father hears him pray, his dear anointed one, he cannot turn away the presence of his Son. His Spirit answers to the blood, his Spirit answers to the blood, and tells me I am born of God. I now am reconciled, his pardoning voice I hear, he haunts me for his child, I can no longer fear. With confidence I now draw nigh, with confidence I now draw nigh, and Father, Abba,
let's open in a word of prayer. Thank you, dear Father, that we have all of these blessings in our Lord Jesus Christ. We're so thankful that you loved us so much that you sent your Son to die on the cross for us that we might have eternal life. And we're thankful for that life that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. Encourage our hearts now, Lord, as we praise you and as we learn of you through your word. May it be a blessing to us this day. And we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, we will go to another song now. Let's go to He Keeps Me Singing, number 477, for those who have a songbook. He Keeps Me Singing. It's a wonderful thing that we have joy in the Lord, and as we go through life, we can sing praises to our God. 477.
My heart a melody, Jesus whispers sweet and low, fear not, I am with thee, peace be still, in all of life's ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. All my life was wrecked by sin and strife, his blood filled my heart with pain. Jesus swept across the broken strings, set the slumbering chords again. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go, feasting on the riches of his grace, resting neath his sheltering wing, always looking on his smiling face. That is why I shout and sing, Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Oh, sometimes he leads through waters deep, trials all across the way. Oh, sometimes the path seems rough and steep, I should bring a mile on high. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Soon he's coming back to welcome me, far beyond the starry sky. I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown, I shall reign with him on high. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go.
Right. Well, sorry about messing up that fourth verse there, but, you know, sometimes you do that. You get ahead of yourself, and those things happen. So, let's see. As far as announcements go, we don't have a lot of things, obviously, but we do want to remind everybody who's out there watching us on Facebook and YouTube and things, the location of our church. We are at 407 Marley Station Road in Glen Burnie, Maryland. And so if you are close, we invite you to come and worship with us as soon as we are able to open back up again. Of course, we don't know when that will be. We're hoping maybe by Easter, but maybe not. You know, it may be sometime after that. And so whenever the Lord allows, we will again have services here at the church, and that will be a great blessing. All right. And then also remember, for our church members, do remember about sending in your offerings. You can, of course, mail them in, or, you know, drop them by the church, whatever. But also, we put a thing on the website there to a connection to a thing called Titherly. I'm not 100% certain how it all works, but supposedly you can click on that and it takes you to it, and you can put in the money. And, you know, for those of you who are technologically advanced, feel free. For the rest of us, just mail it the old-fashioned way it works for me. All right, so let's now go to our Bible verse. We're continuing to work on our memory verses. And for many of us who are, you know, off from work and don't have all of the normal schedule, let me just encourage you. You have extra time. So since you have extra time, why not put that time into memorizing God's Word? So a good thing to do. And we're working on 1 John chapter 2 and verse 7. So we'll say it twice together. 1 John 2:7, brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye heard, or which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye heard from the beginning. Again, 1 John 2:7, brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye heard from the beginning. And then our scripture reading will come from the book of Philippians today. And so we'll be in Philippians chapter number 1 and reading verse 19 down through verse 26. Philippians chapter 1 from verse 19 down to verse 26. Let me turn over there. Philippians 1 verses 19 through 26. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with all of your future, for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Now let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we are thankful for the precious word of God and how it instructs, it guides, it teaches us. And even in times like these, we find the comfort that we need from thy word, how this passage fits so wonderfully with the events that are going on as so many feel that they are in a strait. And Lord, we find ourselves in these conditions, and yet we know that you have not forsaken us. You've said you will never leave us nor forsake us. And we're thankful that you are with us and you are guiding us and you're directing us and you're leading us through these things. We pray, Father, that you might bring comfort to any who are in fear and discouragement at this time, Lord, any of our people who are afraid, may you bring comfort to their heart. And we're thankful, Lord, that as far as we know, everyone is relatively healthy and well, and just some of the normal allergies and things like that that people get this time of year. We pray, Father, that you will continue to watch over us and protect. And Lord, for those who are suffering from all these flus that are about and this virus that's going around, Lord, may you bring comfort to them and help them and bring them through these things. We know that, Lord, you are the great physician, and so we ask you to help in all of these things. We do pray, Father, for our missionaries laboring there on the foreign field. May you continue to protect them and keep them and help them in reaching people there for Christ. We pray, Father, for those who are facing persecution of thy people. Some of thy people around the world do face persecution and know great sorrow. And as they face these things, we pray that, Father, you may bring comfort to them, and may thy grace be sufficient. And may they, even with the Apostle Paul, say that there is joy in serving Jesus. And so, Father, we ask for thy blessing to be upon them. We pray, Father, for our school and the situations that are going on there, Lord. You know all the financial difficulties and the difficulties even of educating. And I know many of the Christian schools are facing the same thing as we try to communicate to the students online. And certainly it's not the same as being in the class. And so, Father, we just pray that you'll help the kids to learn and to grow and to gain the knowledge that they need in their lives, and help us in getting all of the testing and the quizzing done and all of those things. Lord, you understand all of these problems, and we pray that you will give us skill and ability to do all the things that we need to do. And as well, Lord, just to continue to meet the financial needs. Lord, we know that there's a lot of people who are laid off right now. We're thankful, Lord, for the work that our government is doing in trying to provide for their needs, and we pray that, Father, these things will work out and these plans will work as they ought, and that people's needs will be met. And so, Father, we pray for thy blessing. May you help our leaders, Lord. They need wisdom to do the right thing, and we pray that you will direct them and guide them in these matters. We ask you, Father, for those who are protecting us, our policemen, our firemen, our military, our doctors, our nurses, those who are working with these diseases. We pray that you will protect them and keep them safe, and that, Lord, you will bless in these times of difficulty. And so, Father, we ask for this. We ask you also, Father, that you will continue to help our families. May we love one another and be faithful to one another and true. May we keep ourselves from sin. May you keep us, Lord. May our hearts be in tune with thee. We know that when David was home and sat on the roof of his house when he should have been at war, doing work, instead was sitting in his house, that he got himself in a lot of sin and a lot of trouble, because his hands were not busy. Help us, Lord, not to fall prey to the temptation that is there. We know that Satan is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Lord, may we busy ourselves with thy work. May we get active in doing the things of God. May we spend more time in prayer. May we read thy word more. May we spend more time memorizing thy word. May we write more texts and call people and send emails of encouragement. And Lord, use the extra time that we have, and may we not just sit and be selfish and focus upon our own needs. Lord, may we be busy in the work that you've called us to do. And so, Father, we pray for thy blessing and thy help in all of these things. We ask you, dear Father, for forgiveness. We know that we are not a perfect people, that we do sin, that, Lord, we neglect to do things that we ought to not neglect, and we do things we ought not do. Father, we sin by omission and commission, and so we ask you to forgive us, Lord, of all of these things. Cleanse our hearts. Lord, may you forgive us of our covetousness, and maybe even in a time like this, we can see that so many of these things that we think are so important really are not mattering, that they really do not matter. And so, Father, may we focus our minds and our hearts upon you. May we love you and serve you and be faithful to you. We pray all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, we will go now to our song, our last song, which will be Near to the Heart of God. And for those who do have a songbook, it's 480, Near to the Heart of God.
A place of quiet rest near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God. Hold us who wait before thee, near to the heart of God. There is a place of comfort sweet, near to the heart of God. A place where we our Savior meet, near to the heart of God. O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God. Hold us who wait before thee, near to the heart of God. There is a place of near to the heart of God, a place where all is joy and peace, near to the heart of God. O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God. Hold us who wait before thee, near to the heart of God.
All right, we'll go now to our message, and we are in Philippians chapter 1, verses 19 through 26. Now, of course, the life of a Christian is not a life that is devoid of all problems. Christians have problems, have difficulties, they have troubles, just as all people have difficulties and have problems. Jesus even promised us that in this world you shall have tribulation. But despite the trials that we have as Christians, we are people that have joy. And so, dear Christian, don't let troubles rob you of the joy that you ought to have. Yes, you're going to have trouble, but you ought to as well have joy. You can avail yourself of the help that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what we see here in the Apostle Paul. He is doing those very things. He is right now in the writing of this book, as he wrote this all those years ago, he is there chained to a Roman guard awaiting a sentence before an emperor who is quite literally mad. He is waiting a sentence before Nero. And he has had to appeal to a madman to get a dismissal of his case. And so this is a difficult time in his life, and yet he is rejoicing in the Lord. And so I think as a good theme here today, we ought to be rejoicing in Christ. We may not be able to rejoice in everything. We may not be enjoying all the things that are happening right now, but we certainly can rejoice in Christ. And he gives us a number of reasons why we can rejoice in Christ. Let us rejoice in Christ for deliverance. In verse 19, he says, I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayers and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Now, the word salvation is used in a number of senses. Paul uses the word salvation to refer to our past salvation. We were saved. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. If we, we were saved by grace. He uses it in the past tense. He uses it in the present tense. In Philippians 2, he'll talk about how that we are being saved. We are right now being saved. God is working in us and saving us. He's changing us. We sometimes refer to this as sanctification. But it is also going to save us in the future. Romans 13 speaks of this, how that we shall be saved. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We shall be saved. There is a day of glorification. And so the scripture uses the words in different ways. Sometimes the word just has the idea of a deliverance. And I think that may well be what the apostle is speaking of here. If we are like the apostle in physical bonds, we're either going to be saved in the sense of delivered, or vindicated is another way in which that can be used. In other words, as he stands before the judge, whether the judge is the God himself or whether the judge is some human man, he is going to see that Paul did nothing wrong. Just as all these others who he stood for before have said, we find no fault in you. We don't know what you've done that's wrong. We don't know what the charge is against you. So, they couldn't figure out a charge. So he will be vindicated again in this condition. And so we can rejoice in Christ for deliverance. We can go through these things. As you face trials in your life, as you face difficulties, maybe somebody at work is opposing you and doesn't like the gospel and is, upset with you and all of these kinds of things. No matter what it is, we are going to ultimately be vindicated. We're going to be set free. Now, it might be by death. It may be that the Lord calls us home. Well, hallelujah, that's even better. But whether we are by life or by death, we are going to glorify the Lord. Either way, we win. Bondages, no matter the source, are a chance for you to see God save. And that's a blessing. So when you face these things, don't look at it and say, oh, woe is me. Recognize God has an opportunity to show himself strong on your behalf. Therefore, you ought to be rejoicing. Lord, I got an opportunity for you to see great things. Now, notice the two sources of help that he mentions. He says, through your prayers. It is so important that we pray one for another. It is so critical that we remember one another and pray for one another. It is often through the prayers of God's people that we are helped and delivered. And how many times as a pastor I've been told by people that, I could tell that God's people were praying for me as I went through this thing. And what a blessing that it is that we can pray one for another, but also through the Holy Spirit. Here in verse 19, he calls him something a little interesting. It is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. The Spirit of Jesus Christ is referencing the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit helps us and supports us in our troubles. He builds us up. He strengthens us. He undergirds us. He enables us. And he comforts us in all of our troubles. We have a comforter. And that is a glorious blessing that we have. And so we can rejoice in Christ for deliverance. But we can also rejoice in Christ for the chance to exalt Christ. In verse 20, he says, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. He wanted to glorify Christ. He wanted to exalt Christ. He wanted to magnify Christ through his body. It did not matter. We don't know how we will serve Christ in the future. We don't know. But we do know this. We can be certain of one thing. We want Christ to be exalted no matter what it is. We want Christ to be uplifted. And this ought to be our expectation and our hope. It ought to be our craning of the neck that we are striving out there to see, and our goal to say, I want Christ to be exalted. We ought to be thrilled in the service of the Lord. And so don't lose the excitement of seeing how God can use you to reach others. That's one of the dangers that comes. You know, when you're young, life is exciting. You don't know much and you're learning and everything is new and it's fun and it's exciting. And then, you know, you turn around and 40 years have gone by and there you are. You're a little older and, you know, you don't have the energy you once had. You don't have this physical excitement that you once had. Everything's old hat. You've done it 100 times. You're not so excited anymore. Well, guess what? The world keeps changing. You know, this is a radically different world that we live in today than what we lived in just 100 years ago. I saw a humorous thing on the internet this week about toilet paper. I know it's kind of a just terrible subject. But, you know, 100 years ago, Americans couldn't even be convinced that they needed the product. And now we can't be convinced that we're going to, you know, live without it. I mean, people are panicked, running out, buying gazads of the stuff. So, you know, world has changed. You know, in the days of, say, the founding of our country, people got around basically the same way the Lord Jesus got around. They walked, they took a boat that was by sail, or they rode an animal. Now look at us. We have means of travel that they could not imagine. We fly around from country to country, and within, you know, 20 or 24-hour flight, you can pretty much be anywhere in the world. And you can go from one spot to another spot and be, you know, traveling from one side of the globe to the other side of the globe. And what a world that we live in. It has changed dramatically. All this technology. You know, I still remember the rotary phone where, you know, you had to do this kind of stuff. And, you know, phone booths where you had to make sure you carried a dime and then it went up. And you had to carry a quarter in your pocket at all times in case you needed to make that emergency call. Well, now we have all of this technology. We don't know how we're going to serve the Lord in the future. And we should never get to the point where we get so complacent that we just say, well, you know, it's not exciting anymore. We ought to be looking and saying, you know, how can I magnify Christ today? What can we do today? What new thing can we use to reach people for Christ? How can we do something more? Keep craning your neck is the word that is used in this verse to see what God has planned for you. What new way can we use to exalt Christ? And so there's a lot that's out there, and we need to see what we can do to reach our world for Christ. And another way, reason that we can rejoice in Christ is for he is our life. Notice what he says there in verse 21. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Such a simple verse, and it's such an easy one to pick out and to, you know, apply to our hearts. And often it is used in a very simplistic sense, but it does have a contextual meaning. It does have a reason for being in the context that it is there. It's not merely communicating that, you know, for me to live is Christ, and if I die, well, then I go to heaven, and that's all better. Yes, certainly that's an application that can be taken from it, but contextually, that's not what he's trying to get at. He's using that in a different sense. He's using it in the sense that if he dies, Christ is glorified. It was through the death of the Christians that the early church advanced. The Romans said, you know, we put one Christian to death and 10 rise up to take their place. And so contrary to what they had hoped would happen, by persecution they would squash this new faith, they did the exact opposite because Christ was exalted. It was a gain when they died in the arena for the Lord. And so Paul here is expressing this thing. It is the main function of a Christian to glorify God. That is our job. Our life is to be lived for the Lord. And we die for the Lord. Whether we live or whether we die, it is for Christ. Death for the Christian is a gain. And certainly it is a gain. It is a glory to go to heaven, but it is also the opportunity to reach many people for Christ. How often I've seen the situation where a Christian dies and there will be a big funeral service and lots of people will come out and all kinds of people who maybe don't know the Lord and people who are backslidden away from the Lord and family members who are estranged will come for that funeral. And all of a sudden, those who were never giving any thought whatsoever to eternity or giving any thought to serving the Lord, all of a sudden begin to think about their own mortality. It's kind of hard not to when there's an urn sitting down there or where there's a body sitting down there for you not to meditate upon your own mortality and to think about the things of the future. And there you have that wonderful opportunity of preaching the gospel and calling people to repentance and calling people to salvation and calling people to service. And people often respond and get their hearts right with the Lord. That death was a gain. The goals of their prayers were answered. Those who had been praying for those estranged families see them come together and the work of the Lord goes forward. And so we can rejoice in Christ. Whether we live or whether we die, we rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. We also can, we ought to be rejoicing in Christ for continued fruitful labor. As he says there in verse 22, but if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what shall I choose? I wot not. In other words, if he lives in the flesh, he's going to continue to have fruit from his labor. He's going to do things, and he's going to be working for Christ, and there's going to be fruit that is produced. Now, you may not see the fruit produced. You may not be able to recognize what the fruit is. You know, we like to see things, you know, immediately and get it done quickly and all of that. It doesn't happen that way. You know, come here in Maryland, tomatoes will start coming in late July and, you know, August and all of that. Well, right now, I have little tomato plants growing in a little box in the window in my house because I planted little seeds a few weeks ago. Well, if I didn't start, I'm not going to have those tomatoes come August. If I didn't start those plants way back there in March, early March, I would not have those tomatoes then. I have to get going. It takes a while to see the fruit. Right now, they're just little weak plants, but eventually they're going to grow to be big and heavy and strong, and they're going to bear all kinds of tomatoes, and I'll enjoy all of the fruit. Well, you know, that's what the Lord happens in our life. We start out, we grow in grace. There's little, it doesn't seem like much is happening, but you know, we keep working, and eventually that fruit's going to come. And so Paul was certain that if he labored for the Lord, there will be fruit. He was assured of it. So, Christian, don't get discouraged and say to yourself, well, you know, I'm laboring, but I don't see any results. Just keep working. God will bring forth the fruit. He is accomplishing what he wants. So no matter what the struggle, keep rejoicing in Christ, for your labor for him is going to bring forth fruit. Don't get discouraged. How easy it is to let discouragement come in. And Satan uses that. We get discouraged and we say, oh, I just might as well give up. And we just don't want to do anything. No. Keep going for God. Rejoice. Because why? You're going to get fruit. So keep going for the Lord. Rejoice in Christ. Be happy in the Lord. Now, we also let us rejoice in Christ for the desire to be with Jesus. You know, God puts within the heart of a Christian that desire. He says, I am in a strait betwixt two. In other words, he is pressed in by both sides. He is pushed in by both sides. The best illustration of that is the old Roman arch. The Romans built these arches to build aqueducts, miles and miles long. And they're made out of brick. And they use that roundish shape. And the weight that is above gets pushed down onto these bricks and gets transferred out to the sides so that it wants to take the sides and push the bottoms out like that so it can collapse. Well, it can't because on the other side, there's another arch which is pushing this way. And there's an arch on the other side that's pushing this way. And so because you have these series of arches, each arch pushes the opposite way. And the net effect is that the thing keeps standing. We know it works because they've been standing for 2,000 years. So I know it works. These arches work well, but they are pressed on every side. This is what Paul's speaking about. He says here, I am in a strait betwixt two. He doesn't know what he wants to do. What would be better? To be with Jesus or to stay here? He says, I don't know what I ought to choose. I'm not sure what to do. Now, some think that the word know has the idea of demonstrating. He doesn't know. He doesn't understand. He's not sure how to demonstrate this, to make known this idea. He's not sure what to do. That may be the case. Paul didn't know what to do, but he says he is going to serve the Lord. He knows that he has a desire to be with Jesus. And this is a wonderful thing. It is better to be in heaven with God. Yes, it is. But we have life and we have work given to us to God, and we must serve the Lord and rejoice in his blessings until he calls us home. The desire to be with the Lord purifies us. He that hath this hope in him purifieth himself. And it grounds us firmly on what really matters. When we lift up our eyes unto Jesus, all these things that we think are so important seem to fade away. We put away those weights and those sins which so easily beset us. And we look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And so the desire to be with Jesus is a good thing. And thus we can rejoice because God puts that desire in our heart. Now that doesn't mean we, you know, are morbid and we just want to die. That's not the issue either. Because he said, I'm in a strait betwixt the two. I don't know which one to choose. Should I choose to be with Jesus? Should I choose to stay here with you and keep doing the things Jesus has given me to do? I don't know. Either way, it's great. If I stay here, I keep serving the Lord. This is wonderful. Praise God. What a blessing to serve God and see things going on for the Lord. If I'm with Jesus, I'm going to be in heaven serving God, free from all my trials and my troubles. This is great too. What a blessing that we in Christ have this desire to serve Jesus. Let us rejoice. Let us rejoice in Christ for the necessary work. In verse 24, he says, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Paul recognized that the Philippians were not yet grown into maturity where they needed to be. And he understood that they needed to grow, and so to be with them and to encourage them and to help them, as well as many of the other small churches that he had established and started, these young believers needed to grow in grace. And so it was needful that he be there to help them grow and to establish them. And thus he had necessary work to do. The work that we are given is necessary. It helps others. It is a blessing to others. It encourages them. And thus we need not be a selfish people who are saying, well, I just want to, you know, get saved and go to heaven. No, we need to be serving the Lord now and keep going on for God. This is a blessing. We ought to be selfless in our service for in helping other people. And so God has given us necessary work. You have a necessary job. You might say to yourself, well, my job doesn't seem very important. I'm just kind of lowly. No one recognizes what I do. People don't appreciate my job. They don't hold me up and make it to be something glorious. Oh, how important is the work you have been given. It is given to you of Almighty God. You don't know its necessity. You don't may not understand it, but your work is essential. And so get and be happy in the work God has given you. Now, we also ought to be rejoicing in Christ for the confidence that he gives us to continue. In verse 25, he says, having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. He had confidence that he was going to continue. Now, this is, you know, kind of an issue that the commentators argue about because, you know, here he is in one sense, he's in prison, he's facing death, there's a very real possibility of that, you know, all of that, and so there's a very real chance that he could be killed. But yet, he also had a confidence that he was going to be released. And why? Well, he could, in a sense, read the tea leaves, as they say. But what really means is he understood the will of the Lord. He was convinced that it was God's will that he continue in the work of the Lord and carry the ministry of the gospel forward. That was his conviction, that he was going to do that very thing. And so, while he says, I know, you know, he didn't 100% know, but he had a confidence, he had assurance, he felt that this was the right way to go. And so, folks, we have to move along in life with a certain degree of confidence. Yes, you don't know everything. You don't know exactly what's going to happen. You don't know exactly the Lord's will. And if you sit around waiting to know the exact thing to do, you'll never get anything done. But we do know that God has called us to serve, and we need to be busy in the work of the Lord. And God renewed his spirit and enabled him to keep going on and to go on in joy. And he said, I know that this is going to happen with you too, that you are going to go on in the furtherance of the gospel, that you are going to grow, and that there is going to be joy in your faith, that you are going to keep going. And so Paul here gives us those words of encouragement. There is the confidence to continue. And then we have, let us rejoice in Christ for what will happen. Verse 26, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. For what is going to happen? This word here for rejoicing is often translated in the sense of boasting or of bragging even, which is usually in a kind of a negative sense. But we ought to be boasting of the Lord. We ought to be boasting in Christ. He ought to be that which we boast about and talk about. He receives the glory and the honor. And so we ought to be overflowing with joy for what the Lord is doing. God is doing great things, and we ought to be joyful about what the Lord is doing, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Christ Jesus, that our rejoicing may be in him, that we may be exalting Christ, that we may be lifting him up. For by me coming to you again, as he returns to them, that would be a blessing. As they're praying, they would see that God answered the prayers, and that's going to be an encouragement to their faith. It would be a blessing to them. God is going to do great things. Folks, we don't know what God's great things are. It may be that when, you know, this trouble right now in our country is over and people are allowed to go back to the normal schedule, folks are going to be saved and the churches will be filled and great numbers will come. And who knows, this may be the means by which God brings about a great revival in our land. I don't know. Maybe it won't. Maybe God will call many people into the ministry because they'll be sitting there saying, you know, these things of this world, they don't really matter. You know, it's kind of interesting when the government says, hey, you're a non-essential employee. You know, it kind of says to you, you know, maybe this doesn't matter. Maybe this is not that important. Maybe what really does matter is serving the Lord and going on for Christ. And so maybe God's going to call many into the ministry. I don't know what God's going to do. I don't know the avenues he's going to do. Maybe it's God's will that, you know, he thrust many of us old dinosaur pastors into the new age of technology. And so, you know, we can't have church service. So the only way we can do it is by all these new technologies that I'm staring at. And these things are doing it and it's pushing us out. I don't know. But we know that God is going to do great things. And so we cannot be discouraged. We cannot be depressed. We cannot be downhearted. We can't be full of fear. We can't be full of worry. God is in control. He's doing great things. And if he's doing great things, then I ought to be rejoicing. My heart ought to be full of joy. I ought to be happy. There ought to be a smile on my face. And all those kinds of things. So let your heart rejoice in the Lord. Don't let troubles get you down. Don't let those things discourage you. God is working. He's doing great things. Make sure for you to live is Christ. And remember that to die is gain. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to look into your word today, to think about these things. And Lord, we're thankful for the opportunity just to be with the folks through these means of electronics. We're thankful, Lord, that we can do that. And we pray that, Father, we might be an encouragement and a blessing to others, that, Lord, we will all come together in the service of Christ to reach our world for the Savior. Help us, Father, to be a joyful people. And we ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless.